I was back here just really, I just love that song. He's a firm foundation, right? No matter what's going on, no matter the rain comes, the wind blows, our house is built on him, right? So I don't care if the video messes up because God's still working in me this morning. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to John chapter 15. If you didn't bring a Bible, we'd be glad to hand you a Bible so you can follow along. We're working our way through John 15. We're actually going to go back and talk a little bit more about John chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, 3 basically today. Kind of hit some things we didn't hit last week. It was about this time of year, a year ago, when my wife Bonnie and I began making plans to celebrate our daughter's high school graduation. We have twin daughters, and they were 18 last year, going into the spring and finishing up their last semester of high school. And so I don't know that Bonnie and I completely agreed on what kind of celebration to have, but we decided to have a get-together for our family and friends at our house on graduation day in the spring, in June. So we kind of went back and forth on the details, but we landed on having an ice cream social. It was a little simpler than doing a whole meal, and it would be the afternoon following Newbern's graduation, which happens typically in the morning when it's cooler in June. So I had this vision of hosting everyone in our backyard with one of those, you know, those white tents that you put up for big parties or weddings. And the problem was my backyard didn't look so good, right? Now, I've been pretty transparent about my lack of wanting to do yard work, right? Like my complete disdain and dislike of doing anything in the yard. Like I would much rather go play golf than sit there in my yard and mow and pull vines and all that kind of stuff. So there's just something though in me that I just had this picture. I wanted to have this memory of our girls' graduation day, their friends, our friends in our own backyard. Like I just got that going in my head. And so I looked out at the landscape of my backyard, like, oof, I got a lot of work to do. So I made a plan in my head what needed to be done. And most of what needed to be done was sort of pruning, like tidying up, getting things back in order. For years, literally for years in our backyard and on our property, I've been cutting stuff back and reducing the size of flower beds. And the previous owners of the house, they obviously were, they loved gardening. Like it was full of azaleas and other beautiful shrubbery that had in the 50 years, you know, since the house had been built, they had put a lot of effort and time into it, but I wasn't going to do that. So I just started taking stuff out and getting rid of things. But there were a bunch of things that still needed some attention. And one of those things was in our side yard, we had kind of an overgrown burn pile, right? And it needed some attention because I had nearly burned down the neighborhood on more than one occasion with that burn pile. And so it just kept, I was afraid to alert the authorities or have the helicopters come in, you know, pouring water on this burn pile. So it just gotten too big. So I borrowed a small tractor from a friend who was literally out of the country. Figured that was safe. And I borrowed a dump trailer, and I called Bonnie's uncle, Rodney, to come help me one day. And together with two tractors and a dump trailer, we spent most of one day. I was like, it'd probably be till, I was thinking, you know, with two tractors, you know, maybe an hour, two. It was all day, right? Not burning that pile, but hauling away all of this stuff that had been overgrown and this burn pile, which was overgrown. The other thing I needed a little help with was power washing sort of our back steps. And there's a little patio, brick patio on our back of our house. And I needed reinforcements for my reinforcements. I had two friends who had to come by and help me with that. First of all, I don't have a power washer, but I just needed more help. And so I then pulled a bunch of vines and briars out of the flower beds. I bought some pine straw. And by graduation day, I got to say, it looked pretty good, right? Actually, it looked great. It looked really great. But it was hard work. I literally worked every day for weeks, right? And that doesn't include the help I had with the burn pile and the power washing. It reminds me of a famous saying, without hard work, nothing grows but weeds, right? John chapter 15, Jesus uses the allegory of the vine to help his disciples understand the important things to come. And I think Jesus knew that in the very near future, they were going to need these words of encouragement because things were about to get really difficult for them. But truthfully, living for Christ has always been and will continue to be difficult, right? It's not like we just fall out of bed and things come naturally for us as Christians. It takes some work. It takes some pruning, right? Richard Rohr said, the spiritual journey is much like a long hike through a dense forest. The path is often difficult to see and the going can be rough. But if we stay on the path, we will eventually come to a clearing and a place where we can see more clearly and move more easily. When I was a kid, my dad took me deer hunting, and I've never been much of a hunter. This is probably one of the reasons, the PTSD from this. But we arrived before the sun came up, and he walked me into the woods and put me up a tree stand. Now, I really think my dad had a plan that day. You know, I'm like a preteen. I'm probably kind of full of myself, and he's probably a little sick of me. So he puts me up a tree stand, and then he goes a few hundred yards away from me. He's like, I'm going to get some peace and quiet out here, right? Even if I don't see a deer. And so he told me he was going to walk down this road through the woods. Now, this is pre-dawn in the darkness. He says, I'm going to go down here. There's a path. There's a road through here. And you can find me. I'll be a couple, few hundred yards away. And I'm like 12 years old. And really, all I want to do is drink the hot chocolate I brought because it was kind of cold. And I was already getting a little bored with the whole idea. So I climb up there. I start drinking hot chocolate. The sun comes up. I don't see a road in the woods that my dad told me about. I wasn't exactly paying attention when he told me. And so I was drinking that hot chocolate. I think I drank that whole thing in less than 30 minutes. Like, I'm done with the thermos of hot chocolate. And now I was pretty bored. I probably sat there another, 30, 40 minutes, probably before 7 a.m. I decided to get down from the tree stand and see if I can go find my dad. And I began to walk in what I thought was the direction to my dad. And the woods were pretty thick, and I honestly didn't see the path or the road that he said he was going to go down a few hundred yards. And the woods got pretty thick, and somewhere in the process, I got turned around. You know how it is when you're walking through the woods and you have to duck under something, and you were going this direction, all of a sudden going through these briars, now you're going this direction. Well, I think I did that a few hundred times, and I walked for quite a while, and it hit me. I'm completely lost. No sign of the road my dad was talking about. No sign of the deer stand that he was in. I called out to my dad. Nothing. I walked a little further. Dad! Nothing. Finally, after what had to be a couple hours of walking through the woods, I finally came upon a road. Not like this make-believe mythical road my dad was talking about, but like a real hardtop road, a blacktop road. And when I got out on the road, I could kind of see more clearly, right? And there was a defined road. And I made the decision to turn right on this road. And I walked down there quite a ways. That blacktop road led me to a field. And in the very far back corner of that field is where we had parked. And I saw my dad's truck. See, I think the Christian life at times is like that path through the woods, right? Hard to see, even harder sometimes to follow. But eventually we'll come to a clearing or find our way back to a blacktop road that makes it easier to see. Not only where we're going, but where we have been. I could probably go to that field today, 30, 40 years later, and find my way kind of around and where, if it hadn't changed a lot, maybe it's changed a lot, but I kind of know even today, it's embedded in my brain how I got to that blacktop and what I did to walk back to the field where my dad was parked. See, the Christian life is not for the faint of heart. It's sometimes a difficult hike through a dense forest. It's a journey, not a destination. It's a marathon, not a sprint. See, being a disciple of Jesus is hard, but the reward is great. We just have to stay the course. But sometimes that path, what Jesus talks about here in John chapter 15, is sometimes that path takes pruning, right? I wish someone had gone ahead of me and pruned the path and cleared the way so that I could find my way to where my dad was. But sometimes that's something that you and God have to do. It's pulling back the weeds and the vines that need to be removed so that we can see clearly the beautiful relationship we have with God. Today, I want us to go back and focus on just three verses, and I want us to lean in on just one thing, this idea of pruning. John chapter 15, look at verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, right? Remember, this. Here's the analogy. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, and God is the gardener. It says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word I've spoken to you, so remain in me. So I think there are two types of pruning that are described here in these verses. It says, like a good gardener, God refuses to allow that dead wood in his vineyard, right? Those are the who by external appearances look like Christians, but bear no fruit. They're going to be completely cut off, right? God wants us to be productive as a part of this vine, as a part of connection to Jesus, producing fruit. And if not, then we run the risk of being cut off. So there is sort of some final pruning that God's going to do on that dead wood that's not producing fruit at all. And last week we decided that God wants us, that's what God wants from us, to produce fruit in kind, like us, right? That if we are living the Christian life or we're disciples of Christ, then we're going to help produce other disciples. And if we're not doing so, we run the risk of being cut off from the vine. But there's also another pruning of those who are producing good fruit. See, even those who do bear good fruit are subject to the painful but essential process of pruning. Scott Inyart said, pruning is not punishment. It's simply a process of removing the dead wood so that the living branches can grow and flourish. Sometimes pruning takes place through the trials that we face, the difficult times, the storms of life. But verse 3 seems to indicate that this pruning, which Jesus now calls cleansing, takes place through Jesus' words, right? You're already clean, speaking to his disciples, these close friends, the ones that are going to take up the job of moving the church, right? Organizing and moving the church forward in the coming weeks and months and years. He says, you're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So for the disciples who were there with Jesus, these words or this cleansing or pruning are straight from Jesus. But for us, it's the written word, right? We have God's word that we lean into and learn from, and it shapes us. But the results are the same. The words of Jesus cut away those things in our lives that are unfruitful. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You want to become the most fruitful part of this plant, this vineyard that God's talking about, then look at God's word. Allow it to slice and dice the things out of your life that are unfruitful. Right? As we compare our lives to God's word, not what's going on around us. As we compare our lives to God's word, not the person sitting next to us. It convicts us. It shapes us. It prunes away those things that don't match up to his standards. Jesus says, you're already clean, right? So the readers are already, the ones who have already been through this process are already clean, meaning they've already taken or undergone the process of pruning. They've already had the unproductive aspect of their lives removed and the productive aspects already been pruned to make them even more productive. So two types of pruning. The dead wood will be removed and those bearing fruit will be pruned to become even more fruitful. So part of the discipleship process, part of being a disciple of Jesus, is the necessity of pruning. Last week we talked about this idea that salvation is actually equals attachment to Jesus. Right? Those who are outside of Christ are not a part of the vine. But those who are in Christ have been attached to the vine. Here's how we describe being a disciple in the process of discipleship. A disciple is someone who knows, follows, and is fully attached to Jesus. And if we're going to stay fully attached, then we have to subject ourselves to this pruning. Discipleship is the intentional relationship of helping someone to know, follow, and mature in their attachment to Jesus. So one of the ways that we're going to stay attached to the vine, mature as Christians, or more specifically, grow in our attachment to Jesus, is through this pruning process. I want to give us three quick things about the necessity of pruning. See, if we're going to have a healthy attachment to Jesus, to the vine, there are going to be times when our spiritual lives will need to be shaped or pruned. We'll need to allow God, the gardener, to cut away those things in our lives that do not help us grow healthy attachment to the vine. See, pruning, first of all, requires trust, right? God is the gardener. We're the branches. So we have to trust the gardener to cut away those things in our lives that need to be pruned, right? I mean, think about what it takes, something that's sharp. You trust the gardener to get the right things, to prune the right things, and to leave the good things. Rick Warren said the pruning process is always painful, but it is essential if we're to bear fruit. And here's the tough part. We have to stay attached to the vine to produce fruit, but we have to be pruned to be healthy. John 15:5 says, "You remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." Sometimes that pruning, it feels like we're being separated from the vine, doesn't it? It's not easy. But we have to trust that God, the gardener, will only cut away those things that keep us from staying connected to Jesus. So how do we know? We have to trust him. We have to trust the gardener. And here's the problem. We want to hold on to those things that we think produce that attachment. The things that we think are producing fruit, but God actually knows better. He's the gardener. There's this concept called practical agnosticism. And it's prevalent in our culture and hopefully not in our church, but possibly. An agnostic is someone who believes nothing is known or can be known of the existence or nature of God or anything beyond the material world. So, like, just to clarify, if you were to ask an atheist, right? Everybody know what an atheist is? If you were to ask an atheist, is there a God? They would say, no, absolutely not. There is no God. If you were to ask an agnostic if there is a God, they would say, I don't know. Right? See the difference? An atheist is just cut and dry. There is no God. And an agnostic would just be, I'm not sure. I don't know. Open maybe to both. So a practical agnostic is someone who says that they're a Christian, but when it comes to the way that they live or practice that belief, they act as if they don't know for sure. They're good people who believe they'll make it to heaven based on maybe their own goodness, or maybe based on the fact that they're better than some. Have you ever known somebody who's kind of that way? Not fully trusting God, not fully submitting to God's will for their lives, but always points out how much better they are than the person down the row, you know. Some of that comparative goodness. Well, I'm better than so-and-so, so I must be headed to heaven. Now, here's the problem with that idea of practical agnosticism. When the gardener comes along to prune, the practical agnostic thinks that they know better than the gardener. Right? But God, I need that relationship. I need that attitude, that position, that part of my life. That's what's keeping me connected to the vine. That's what's keeping me connected to Jesus. But God's saying that's exactly the part that's keeping you from being fruitful and healthy. And when you choose not to allow God to prune you in certain ways and places, then you're proving that you do not really trust God. And if you don't really trust God, then you are proving that you're not sure if God exists. You're proving that you don't really need God. And that puts you in the place of being your own gardener, being your own God. Now, you may not put that bumper sticker on your car, but for all intents and purposes, you're a practical agnostic. See, we have to trust God. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Jesus is the vine. We're the branches. God is the gardener. So how do we know what needs to be pruned? Well, pruning happens through the word, right? We must test our hearts, our wills by God's word to know when we need pruning. Verse 3 says, you already are clean because of the word I've spoken to you. God, the gardener, is continually pruning the branches, that's us, so that we produce better and better fruit, so that we become more and more fruitful. We become more and more specifically the branches or disciples that God wants us to be as we allow God's word to shape us, prune us into who the gardener wants us to be. And then we can produce healthy fruit in more abundance. And our attachment to the vine will be more secure. James 1:21 says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word that is planted in you, which can save you. Like, there's a lot in that verse that really points towards this vine, right? God has planted his word, and it is the thing that attaches us. It saves us, right? That's what this attachment we're talking about is, salvation. It attaches us to Jesus, to the vine. We're to humbly accept the word that's planted in us. Why? Because it'll save you. The word of God is the attachment. James goes on to say, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. It is in and through the word of God that we find and secure the attachment to Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, you're clean because the words I've spoken to you. So for us, that means we have to study God's word. We have to memorize and listen to good preaching and teaching. We fill our minds with the word, the words of Christ. And that's hard sometimes because the word of God doesn't always match up with what we feel or with what our culture is telling us. It's a painful process, but that's the Christian life. That's what it looks like to be a disciple. Scott Inyart again said, pruning is not punishment. It's simply a process of removing the dead wood so that the living branches can grow and flourish. See, the cost of non-discipleship is far greater than the cost of discipleship, even though it's hard. And finally, that pruning secures attachment. Part of the pruning process happens to ensure that we stay connected. Verse 2 again, he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. God prunes us so that we are more and more solidly attached to the vine. So that when difficult times come, right, when life happens, when the hard things in life happen, we don't just bail. We don't just get blown to and fro. Like, I love the bridge to the song we sang before the message today. Right, rain came, winds blew, but my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm going to make it through. Like, that's discipleship. Discipleship doesn't say God's going to put you up in, you know, the Beverly Hilton away from everything bad and secure you there with no wants or concerns or anything else. Discipleship is the winds are going to blow. The rains are going to come, the floodwaters are going to rise, but my life is secure in you because my house is built on the solid rock. Those who build their house on the solid rock will withstand the storms. Jesus goes on to say in the Sermon on the Mount that the rock is the solid foundation of his words, his teaching. See the connection we're making? Same idea with the vine. God wants us to stay connected to the vine. But if we do not allow God to cut away those weak spots, those vulnerable places that maybe we think are the connection but are not, we have to trust him, then we're in danger of being disconnected from the vine. God's not looking for perfect people, John Maxwell says, but for those who are willing to be pruned. When I was working in my yard, there were at least a couple tasks where I needed help. Rodney came over, helped me remove the out-of-control burn pile. Bobby and Jared came over and helped me with power washing. I needed that kind of help, right? That's what community is. That's what having good friends will step up and step in when you need help. And we all need that from time to time. Now, follow me here. I'm not talking about yard work right now. I'm talking about in our lives spiritually, we do better when we do it in community with each other. Because we all need help from time to time. We have blind spots. We have weak branches. And that's really what small groups are about for us as a church. We recognize that for us to grow strong and healthy, we have to get connected with other people. This season of small groups, we're doing a study called Rooted. I would love for you to sign up today. Today isn't an advertisement for Rooted, but I don't want to miss that opportunity, right? I don't want to miss the opportunity to sort of encourage you to get more connected, because we all need that kind of help from time to time. That's what our small groups are about. That's what this season of small groups is intended to be, as we study through this Rooted together. Rain came, the wind blew, but my house was solidly built in you. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you for teaching us. Thank you for leading us and allowing your Spirit to work in our hearts and lives. And Lord, I'm just so thankful for this passage that we've been going through this month. John chapter 15. God, your Son, Jesus, is the vine. And Lord, we're just the branches. God, we recognize that you are the gardener. So I just pray, Lord, that as we think about these ideas, that you would just work in our hearts and lives and move us ever and ever more attached to you. Lord, I pray that as we become more and more fully devoted disciples, that we would just continue to grow and flourish, and that the branch that we're connected to, we would just produce fruit. Grows into a beautiful branch that produces its own fruit. And that fruit produces a seed that grows into a beautiful branch, all connected to the vine, all producing fruit. So God, I just pray that when it comes time for pruning, that we would be humble, that we would trust you. More than we trust ourselves, more than we trust this culture that we live in, more than we trust even our friends and family, Lord, that we would trust you, the gardener, to prune us and shape us and mold us so that we can be healthy, so that we can produce the fruit that brings glory to you, God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to wrap up this morning.